Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 879. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamito. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. Glad you're back.
Yeah, it's this has been a weird couple of weeks after taking a full week off for myself, and then to come back with some very interesting show partners this past week between the wife and Eric Nelson there. I have not really talked a lot of modern wrestling, surprisingly enough, with those guests. Eric has not quite gotten his children into professional wrestling yet. We are all disappointed in him.
Come on, Eric.
They should be lining up to, you know, they should be online to get into the PC after high school, like do a Thea Hale. So, but yeah, so there's a lot to cover, and a lot of that stems from our good friends over at AEW. I mean, they have gotten included on this show a little bit more with Collision being on Saturday nights and a little more in our purview, as usual. So, yeah, let's talk about AEW, and more specifically, Tony Khan came out with some news that he said that the All-In card was definitely going to be changed.
Yes. He said that there are changes, but he doesn't believe that there will be changes that will affect the quality of the show, and they will not affect, at this moment, they will not, no changes will affect the World Championship match and the Tag Team Championship match, which Tony Khan feels, and I think most people think probably feel, are the most important matches of the show.
Yes. That is pretty agreeable to me. Tony Khan is at least somewhat right with that statement.
Yes. But, oh man, did people think the Tag Team Championship was in danger it was last Friday.
Yeah, I believe that news popped last Friday when one Cash Wheeler was he was arraigned in court, correct?
He was arraigned. The incident happened early in July,
Yep, and I would have imagined that that Mr. Wheeler's crime would have had to have gone through a grand jury like yours truly was on earlier this year. Far different location, I'm assuming, there. But, yeah, he got through that and at least had the charges. I believe there are felony 3 assault. And
yes.
If Florida is anything like Ohio, and it isn't, well, actually, they are kind of close. Ohio goes through felony 5 is the lowest and felony 1 is the highest. So I'm going to assume that Florida has a similar scale to that. And his lands at a felony 3, so it's not, you know, the highest degree of felony that you can get. It does seem like an interesting thing to do, at least from, I want to say that I've only seen one point of, or I ended up reading the report, I suppose. And I feel like there's something that's being left out of it. Like, do you just brandish guns against other people that are driving on the road? Did this guy instigate it somehow?
I don't know. That is a question that will have to be asked. But at the same time, there is no I don't believe in any law unless you are directly threatened. There is any provocation for threats involving guns.
And again, that was another thing that was interesting about the grand jury stuff here, is that having the gun in a car ended up making things a higher felony than if you just had it, like, on the street. Because there's additional danger involved.
Yeah, I can see that. Like I said, I don't know exactly what he was thinking. I don't know what his reasons were for doing this. It seems like a very dumb thing to do.
Obviously, if you ended up chasing after someone, should they have cut you off at an earlier time? That still seems like an excessive response.
Yeah, you're really not allowed to do that. Mr. Wheeler, seemingly made a pretty bigger judgment. He's been arraigned, he's been charged, he's out on his own. He's currently out of his own recognizance, and there appears to be nothing stopping him from making it to London this weekend.
Yeah, I was kind of laughing at the people thinking that his passport would get yoinked. It is not a high enough felony charge for them to get involved in that kind of work.
No. I mean, for his career, the concern is, does he get convicted and serve any time? And when did Tony Khan find out about it? Had Cash kept this from Tony since July? Because something that Tony has said over the last week gives the indication that weren't his words in today's press conference, or we just scrum, whatever you want to call it. He hasn't known about this for very long.
Oh, I did not see that part. I did see that he did not want to comment on it because he was still gathering his own facts about the situation.
Yeah.
Just
like he was last year at this time. Oh, man. AEW. What a messy situation. But as far as we know right now, FTR will be intact in London this Sunday. They will defend their tag team championships against the Young Bucks. I have maybe a suspicion that they're less likely to win that match now.
Their odds have gone drastically down ever since that news got announced.
Yes, you can't have one of your tag team champions going away for 6 months to a year or whatever.
I don't know.
Multiple years. I don't know what.
Yeah, that part I'm not really going to speculate on because I don't remember enough about. But although they didn't really discuss sentencing in grand jury either, so.
No, but he's pleading not guilty, so he's not trying to flee out of this thing. And it is a situation of his word against the other person. So I'm not sure if there are any other witnesses to what happened.
That's going to be the interesting part, I suppose. Unless there is some additional evidence that... unless there's some additional evidence out there that we are unaware to at the current moment that confirmed him as the aggressor in the situation. So... FTR a whole lot less likely to win those championships. Like, I'm going to be, I guess, surprised if they win, if they retain them at this point.
Yeah, I would be too. That's just too much of a risk. this situation blowing up and getting worse once they get back. I mean, right now you're in complete, let's just get through this mode. Which kind of does suck for the quote-unquote biggest wrestling show of all time. The feeling of let's just get through this, it isn't what you're really looking for.
No, and I mean, honestly, I was thinking that FTR needed this win more coming into this show, honestly.
I completely agree with that, yes. They absolutely need the win more. But, of course, the Young Bucks are returning to tag team action, and... have not been tag team champions in quite some time.
No.
So, maybe they're due?
It will work for the Bucks to win the championships just because they have been, you know, injuries, trio shenanigans, you know, this, that, and the other thing. Like, they have been out of the championship picture for a while at this juncture. So, yeah, like, it'll be fresh for them to be champions, honestly.
And either way, it's a babyface team. So,
oh,
you know, doesn't really upset the apple cart anywhere else as far as what the next challengers would be. I mean, it does take the tag team championships away from Collision, which that has been something of a highlight for Collision, having FTR set in front of titles there. And as we very well know, the Young Bucks aren't exactly making regular appearances on Collision.
No, there definitely seems to be some level of division of church and state.
There definitely seems to be. And we really were talking about all of that earlier last week. There are apparently people who are just not allowed to come to Collision.
Yes, I mean, I was just kind of laughing that it was kind of like, Ryan Nemeth gives CM Punk the Rock eyebrow, gets him kicked off of Collision, or something like that.
Yeah.
Ryan, you
are in no way as important enough to put this point.
Yeah, I was just like, oh, he's still... that was one of those he's still employed moments.
Well, yeah. I had one of those when I heard that Kip Sabian has been signed for another 3 years. Like, what are you even doing?
That's only a question for Tony Khan. If Kip Sabian can keep on getting a paycheck for 3 years while not ever being on, while rarely being on TV, God bless. Like, you're essentially getting paid to work out at that point.
But certain point.
Oh, yeah.
Tony should have just decided that he was going to go with CM Punk and let the Elite go on their way. If they can't work, Tony has to. But instead, he's letting Punk basically control an entire show and resign the Elite to new contracts and also seemingly allow Penny and the Bucks to keep their vice president. Which I have no idea what they actually do.
Yeah, that would be kind of interesting to see what administrative stuff they have to do. I'm assuming they're not approving time cards or anything of that nature.
No. But yes, OLEW heading into what should be the most important week of their existence.
A lot of drama, a lot of trouble, a lot of
disorganization. I mean, just the way that they've thrown this all in together in the first place was just completely, disrespectful of the moment of the time and resources spent by over 80,000 people.
Well, and that's another one that cracked me up from Tony Khan, honestly, his own statement where he was just like, oh yeah, I was planning on announcing the main event right around this time. And I'm like, huh? Like 3 weeks before All In, you thought was a good time to finally announce the main event? Or was it maybe a month?
Yeah, it was less than 4 months.
Yeah, so it's just like, dude, like, that's a long time to wait. Like, you need to have at least your main event before that time, in my opinion.
Yeah, for a show that's supposed to be this big, and that main event is really the only long-running storyline that they're paying off. And a long-running storyline that they're paying off is basically that fans don't want to see these guys
break up
each other.
Yeah.
It's just, like I've said it before, the only way to do this is to have Adam Cole be the one. Because otherwise, oh. what is this? I think I mentioned with GM. The third time we teased MJF going babyface and then gone back at it. Then.
Yeah, there is no way you can buy a fake out again from MJF if he's the one that does the actual fake out. And Adam Cole has done just enough to seem like he's more the aggressor, in this situation. Between the belt gazing, and I felt like he kind of looked like he might hit MJF one time. For some reason, like, he's just given a couple of really small hints that he really should be the one to pull the trigger. And screw over MJF. I don't know when a good time for that is, though. You know, like, if you have a match against each other, how can you really screw the other guy over when you're both known for cheating?
Yeah, there's something to that, but I think there's still, they can promise to have a clean match, and then, put that shot here, a belt shot there, that shot's belt shot.
No.
I kind of hope they don't put Cole with Roderick Strong in the kingdom. That just seems like such a low rent thing for the champion to be involved in.
At least with only Roderick Strong, it's kind of like, it feels like Adam Cole has just gotten so big that he doesn't need to be around them at all. Like, they don't enhance him anymore.
No, guys like that do. But curious how they pull this all off. It does feel like they boxed themselves into a corner here by making this the main event and dragging this thing out as long as they have. It getting over. Them as a team getting over so strong. I mean, I imagine that they're probably to fan the flames, they probably will win the Ring of Honor Tag Team Championships to pick off the proceedings.
No.
Of course that gets thrown into chaos when wrestling's new favorite thing. Wrestlers turning on their partner while they're still tanking champions.
Oh, that very well could happen. And always does not make much of a lick of sense.
No, I mean, in this sense, it makes sense the part of who the hell cares about the Ring of Honor tag team title.
Well, I am not on that list. I will say that much.
And Ring of Honor might be a thing that Tony Khan eventually has to make a decision about.
I wonder how many solo customers he has for just Honor. Because Honor Club is still a thing, right? That's separate?
Honor Club is still a thing that's separate. It costs $9.99 a month. And it just looks terrible. I mean, they did nothing to revamp that thing. It still looks like all their apps are like they're formatted like a website from the 1990s. It's pretty low rent. I guess that's the term of the day here.
I suppose I haven't even laid eyes on the screenshots or anything, so I've got no clue on its quality. It's kind of wild that it's still hanging out there, but it's one of those, it's kind of similar for Impact Wrestling. If you don't even have a decent streaming deal, how am I supposed to pay attention to you at this point? It's better, obviously, to have a TV deal. But yeah, them not even really having a web presence other than Honor Club, oof, man, that is a tall ask. It really does seem like ROH should be put out of its misery.
Yeah, I this. It's been made very clear that the Warner Brothers Discovery people have no interest in Ring of Honor. If they don't think that the brand name, you know, makes sense to include when they can just call it Ring of Honor. I mean, getting AEW on Max is probably, you know, the next big priority for AEW. And if you want to, you can package Ring of Honor library to that with all the, you know, Punk, Daniels, and Joe, et cetera, matches that are on there.
Yeah, I mean, you're definitely going to still get buyers for that catalog.
Yeah, you will. I mean, the issue with it is so much of it is just so, it just looks so poor. The look and sound of it, all that, you know, all the stuff, especially, you know, Priest and Blair, is going to look, you know, archaic, basically. Sound it too.
I would be interested to, I mean, because that's what, they're only 21 years old or something like that?
Well, yeah, they're 21 years old.
So.
But they weren't running on a modern budget 21 years ago either.
They were not.
I was not watching them for the production quality.
Fair enough. I definitely hit more live events for ROH in that time period than bought DVDs. So I suppose there's that. And yeah, I guess I'm not surprised. Like, what? Oh my gosh. 20 years ago is still in the 2000s. Good lord. Because I guess I was thinking about old sports stuff from the 90s that I've kind of seen, like, stuff that I watched growing up, and I'm like, whew, man, this TV quality sucks.
Yeah.
And I guess I wonder how much that stuff sucks in comparison. So, yeah. In understanding that their budget work was not great. Yeah, so Tony Khan really has a dumpster fire going on. It's kind of funny that they are having... Will this be the largest crowd of the wrestling year?
Yes, this will be the largest crowd because they're splitting over two nights. I think they maxed out about 60,000 for WrestleMania at this point. SummerSlam, they announced close to almost 60, but it was probably closer to 50, legitimately. People actually paid to be there, or were just there as spectators. And then World Rumble was probably closer to 40, 45. And this is supposedly a legitimate 80,000. A legitimate sale of 80,000. Which might be a record depending on who you're talking to. Yeah. Depending on who believes what as far as what WWE has announced over the years. And what the legitimate attendance is worth.
Yeah, because I was trying to, I guess I was thinking that, and that was probably more what the WWE had, that they were listing like 83 for Cowboy Stadium.
Well, WWE announced
100. Oh.
83 is kind
of
closer to the real number.
Yeah, it would make sense. Like, you end up taking up enough of this, you know, this seating with any type of ring entry piece. That you lose X number of seats and you don't really gain all of them back. Like,
yeah.
I have not yet seen a place that doesn't essentially end up getting back to what the regular capacity of the stadium is, essentially, with the lawn seats. So, yeah, because I want to say that that's like a 90,000-seat stadium, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
So it makes sense that about 80K is where they're probably topping out, or, you know, getting close to topping out.
Yeah, no, no, no. Incredibly impressive haul. But it just doesn't feel like this is going to be the end of the emphasis of any kind of a boom or a boon at all.
Right?
SummerSlam 1992 did about the same, give or take, in the old Wembley Stadium.
No.
And, you know, it was a great night at the box office, but then after that is when the downfall really kicked in. For another 4 years or so.
Ooh, yeah, there is a lot of times where I'm like, I punched out about the right time.
Yeah.
There's some stuff that I missed in there, but for the most part, I did not miss a good era, quite frankly, when I was not watching wrestling.
Not particularly, no. I mean, these clips are going around now of, TV tapings that they were doing for, they had 93, 94, and you see these tiny shithole buildings that they were running, just to put the lights on, and it's incredible to look back on.
Well, I mean, I was still, and have always been surprised that even back in the day that they were running Altoona at the, because I forget who sent me the clip of Kevin Nash talking about the Jaffa Mosque. I think it was Jeremy. And he was talking about it on some show, and I think a fan jumped into the ring, and it was some story about, fan interaction. But it happened in Altoona, and I got a good kick out of that. I do not believe I was at that event, though, which is a little bit of a bummer that I was not party to said story. I did see them there, but I definitely don't remember the incident that that Mr. Nash talks about. So. Yeah, they played some really small and really, kind of out of the way places, sometimes in the early 90s there.
And speaking of such things, man, did they not do a great crowd in Lexington, Kentucky, for Collision on Saturday. And they were running a pretty big building, and according to our man on the ground, Steve Williams, it was pretty empty. Really, scanned.
Yeah, I feel like I remember seeing the seating chart not looking very great for that show. When Mr. Williams shared that information. And honestly, the video evidence did not help them out at all either, because there were a couple of shots where I'm like, "Ooh man, I can see giant gaps of seats."
Yeah, AEW's domestic business is already in the tank. I mean, there's no answer. this was probably in the Saturday show. It's probably the weakest episode of Collision they've done. Really?
Yeah. I mean, I still think it's the better of the two shows. The more coherent of the two shows. But yeah, I don't feel like I have the results pulled up, but I'm trying to remember what really did. Did kind of happen there. okay, yeah, it looks like there is some okay stuff, but they were just moving it along. Most of these storylines. Darby Allin versus Christian Cage. Diamante versus Willow Nightingale, Jay White versus Dalton Castle, Powerhouse Hobbs in a squash match. Like, it moved along, but there wasn't anything really remarkable about it. Yeah, that's one where it's another. We did not need Tony Schiavone for this interview. Just let them talk on the mic, like they did that anyway. Picking on Tony Schiavone does not get you any points because he doesn't have any sympathy for anyone when he gets back to the announce desk. Assaulting elderly announcers just does not seem cool in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, no, it feels like a crutch.
And then that's the other thing, where it happens so frequently, it's just like, guys, like, everyone threatens him. Like, what are we doing here? What are we doing? Oh my gosh, I forgot about Big Bill having a squash match.
Good yeah, now, and now he's with Ricky Starks. In his very short tenure, Big Bill has gone from Stoke to Prince Donna to Ricky Starks
now. They keep on trying to repackage him, and it keeps on not seeming to catch on. It probably is not catching on because he's not winning matches. Funny. How many times have I said that? Funny how that happens.
I don't dislike the idea of him with Ricky Starks. But this whole Ricky Starks managing people thing is only going to last by another 2 weeks before he can wrestle again. So I don't really get the point of all of this.
I guess unless it's to break Big Bill away from, is that the Mobile Embassy now?
I don't know if he was ever technically a member of the Mobile Embassy. He was teaming with Brian Cage, often.
Okay.
Which would have put Nana at ringside for his matches.
That's what, I guess that's why I said it to start with a bit of a question mark at the end. Because I couldn't remember the exact situation.
It's been a bad, messy road for him. And he has improved. He has gotten his life together. What might see more of what he can do. Although if he's going to be aligned with Starks and then dealing with Punk, that is not a good match. That is not a good style of battle at all.
No, the big men have really not fared well. Fared well in AEW in general.
And CM Punk is, other than maybe one match with Brock, and a big man who can do more, Punk can have a match with, but, a guy like Big Bill, I don't think he can GTS him and make it look good.
He's not going to give him the Anaconda Vice for the W?
He might have to, but I've always thought that holds a good crap, so. What does it do?
It's supposed to be like an elbow lock, essentially. And shoulder. So, yeah, that's what the what you're supposed to be going for there. So, yeah. But I think you're right. Like, that would be a style clash that probably isn't good, just because Bill is kind of a straightforward power wrestler and not... I mean, though he is agile, he doesn't really do that much to display that, you know? Like, he's not a flippy guy, or...
Right.
And he really doesn't use kind of speed in the ring or agility in the ring, really, other than... Really, he uses flexibility more than he uses, you know, athleticism, I guess. So, I mean, he does have some nice big boots and all that stuff, so...
Yeah.
I guess I, like you said, it seems like he's been on the road to recovery for a while, and I think that they have a spot for him, or they could use a person like him in AEW again. Like, I think that they've not done well with big guys in general, so... having someone like your own, essentially he's their homegrown Lance Archer.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not homegrown. Their free agent acquired Lance Archer.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there is that. And then I guess, is there anything really to say about the Darby Allin versus Christian Cage match that ended the show?
It was fine, I guess. It was a little long. I mean, it's funny seeing Darby Allin now has to be in two feuds at the same time. Because he's got two different opponents on his and two consecutive pay-per-views.
Yeah, he's got a lot of beefs going on, and I suppose it is not surprising that one of your more popular characters is quite literally working overtime. And what, is he the only person with announced matches at both events as we speak now?
Well, there's only two announced matches for All Out. And
he's in one of them.
Well, he's in one of them, and he's in the coffin match, doing the sting against Swerve and AR Fox. Which, you know what, as a storyline, I see absolutely nothing in this Nick Wayne kid. He's nothing to me. He's gonna continue to be nothing. His dad was a nobody, who cares? Sorry he's dead, but
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's gonna be kinda interesting. Obviously still really young.
Go ahead.
I guess it's kind of interesting, like, it's easy to praise, I guess I was thinking more about NXT here, where there's a lot of young ladies there, and you're like, oh man, this is great that their roster is this young, like, they're only going to continue to develop. It almost feels like conversely, an 18-year-old guy doesn't need to be there yet.
No, he does not need to be there. Him and another one, really stars, do not need to be there. I know they've been wrestling a little while already, but, you know, you shouldn't be that, you know, you don't want an 18-year-old, you know, tuning up with the pads and right out of the football field.
Yeah.
The only sport that seems to happen with it all is basketball. Even that, I err on the side of caution.
Well, it does in hockey too, but that is also it's more of an exception than a rule. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there are people like Connor McDavid and Sidney Crosby who came in at 18 years old and played well. But is that most of the league that comes in at 18 years old? No, just not even close to it. So, you know, those people that tend to be able to play a professional sport that young are real prodigies. And I don't know if I'm ready to put Thea Hale in that. But again, like, I think one point that you're getting to, and I've kind of talked about it too, like, I just think that your body fills out as you get into your 20s.
Yeah, it does, but also I think, trying to play off the second generation element when no one's heard of his dad, it's a little cringy.
Hey.
I'm sorry to say it, a couple of times I think they're saying it, but it's like your dad never made it. It's that simple. He's really skinny. And he's just, a fluffy guy. Nothing much else going. Now, in this whole storyline, I have really, intensely approached more of an AR box. Like, that scene where they barge into the wrestling school / barn of
the garage.
Family, I thought they were like really villains during those scenes. It was really
Yes, Swerve has really been great at this villain stuff in general. He's kind of a weird villain, but he's definitely being a dick every time. Like, you know that you're supposed to be booing him.
Yeah.
Even an AEW crowd.
He's done a really good job with this. All my issues aside, he's done a really good job with this. It's the Matt Darby to do his crazy shit, and he can sting on the card in front of that many people. So overall, I do like it.
It'll probably be. I mean, Sting has gone out of his way to pull out stupid moves here late in his career for whatever reason. And I would imagine there will be one Sting fall somewhere along the line here that the crowd gets behind, even though we see 12 crash pads that he lands on. And yes, you should be protecting a 60-something-year-old man. So, that's kind of wild that Darby Allin is the only one with matches. Because, I mean, I guess that's another part of this whole jumbled mess. It's still wild to me that they are doing back-to-back weekends of pay-per-views.
It's nuts. I mean, they really should have just focused on Wembley. Did not need to run Chicago over like this. I mean, they're at half the crowd they had during the first one or two times that they went to the United Center.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just
ticket sales are not quite as high for that one as they are at Wembley, huh?
No, not at all. And of course, not giving that many blood.
Bigger show, the one that you yourself are touting is the biggest wrestling show ever.
Yeah.
And it's Kenny getting backup duty, basically.
Yeah, Kenny Omega in a trios match. Yes. What are you doing there? And it's been 3 months. It's been like over 3 months. Dallas, Takeshita turn. Omega still hasn't wrestled Takeshita.
It's been weird that storyline, I feel like they brought it up recently to Kenny Omega, like in one of his backstage interviews, but he keeps on blowing the whole thing off, really. You know, like, he doesn't seem hell-bent on revenge on Don Callis for whatever reason. And that's not helping the storyline at all.
No, it is not helping at all.
Like, because it still is out there, but it's like, yeah, you would think that he'd want his revenge on Takeshita. And it hasn't happened.
No. So yeah, there's some people still bring that up. It's just like heading into Young Bucks, blowing off everything, making everything a joke, and you know, still running through the lead as a comedy show. It's gotten very long. And you want to see a different side of these guys after all these years.
Oh. Yeah, because what was that? It was something just recently that I did watch a couple of Being the Elite. And, they were making fun of the whole Kenny Omega beatdown. And how they weren't supposed to come out until the video package aired about, what's his name? Kota Ibushi. Because, I mean, Jeremy and I talked about it on the show, and then on the podcast that week, and then that was the answer, quote-unquote, on Being the Elite, where, because, what was it? Oh, yeah, because who were they fighting at that time period? Oh, it was BCC and Takeshita and whomever else at that point. So, yeah, Kenny Omega is getting beat down 4-on-1 or something like that. And, of course, the Elite and Adam Page didn't save him until the Kota Ibushi vignette aired. And they made a whole joke out of it on Being the Elite. Did I find some of the jokes in there funny that they were going with? Yeah, but it still doesn't make any goddamn sense whatsoever.
No, it didn't make any sense. Nothing, so little of what AEW is doing makes any sense. I mean, once again, we're heading into this incredibly important week. And they put this on themselves by still scheduling it all out. Of course, I just spent time there and made that point. But
yeah.
Even if it's just Wembley, this should be the most important show in the company's history. All these throwing together tag matches, throwing together matches in general. Depending on how they finish, they haven't really set the table for. There's no big move. There's no big win. There's no big blow off. It's just a show. Over 75,000 people, bought their tickets.
Yeah, I mean, that is somewhat the dangers of traveling to see one of these big shows now, honestly. Because even with the WWE, how many tickets have they sold already for, I can't remember what number the WrestleMania in Philadelphia is supposed to be. Okay. So, yeah. I mean, if they're going to be in the 70 neighborhood, I would imagine, in that kind of a stadium.
Sellouts or for big shows are becoming more and more commonplace. AEW CW though has to be so careful. They don't have the market share, they don't have the history that WWE has behind it.
They've been around
4 years and they're already from the very low high that they hit, around the time Punk and Danielson came in, within like 6 months to a year after that.
Yeah, things are not going well for them, like you said, domestically. And I mean, it's definitely been talked about, I feel like on the show, on and off here. And that's why I was kind of interested and also bummed that my vacation happened to coincide with Dynamite being here in Columbus, because I could not, I wanted to lay eyes on the crowd personally. Quite frankly, to see how Nationwide Arena showed up for AEW, but I did not get that chance.
The crowds are still AEW crowds are still pretty loud. You still have a few club once again. They nurtured a fan base that went to the shows to have a good time and loud regardless. Almost regardless of what was happening. Now it feels like there's less people showing up. Maybe they're getting a little less loud.
The volume is telling just because the WWE is having like at least a crowd and a half their size.
Yes, and WWE has had some really loud, really passionate crowds.
Yeah.
You hear less of the crowd sweeping, and you see people jumping up and down. You see people excited. They've let people have their moments in their hometown more and more.
Right.
And they've had some catered or lucky locations that they've landed for these shows. To have these moments,
like Magic
Toronto, like Sammy and Kevin, Quebec City, etc. throughout the year.
Right.
But WWE's success this year in the live attendance and crowd department has been. Wrestling's cold right now. No, wrestling is not. WWE is very hot right now. You're cold.
And I do think that's one thing that's definitely hurting AEW. Like, to me, you can't tell the difference between like a 6,000 crowd and like a 12,000 crowd.
Yes.
Most
AEW shows domestically aren't getting six at this point.
Yeah, because, and like you said, like, they still, the people that are there are definitely there for a good time and are making noise. But yeah, at some point, the number of people there, you can just audibly hear the difference. Just because, you're hearing like 12,000 people or whatever on a Raw just go bonkers for. Is it Quebec province?
They're in the province of Quebec.
The two native Quebecers, it just hits differently when stuff like that happens. So, yeah, that's a big difference when you're like half the crowd size. Like, it's just volume math. especially when you're playing arenas the same size as the WWE, because I guess that was the other thing I was interested about with Nationwide Arena, since that is I think it's the second show, because I believe they did that AEW, the first time they came to Columbus, did the Shot and Scene Center, which is on Ohio State's campus. But it is the same size, essentially, minus maybe about 500 seats as Nationwide Arena. So, just Nationwide Arena's a little bit nicer and newer. So, people tend to want to go there. Those are big venues that AEW is holding their places in. Like, they're not going to the 8,000-seat arenas. Because at least then, the acoustics make things sound louder. And they don't have that working for them anymore. Because they're in big, full-size arenas and not, you know, an 8,000-seat venue. That makes a difference, too. I guess I didn't think about that aspect of things for AEW. Like, the sound just dissipates more easily in a larger area. So, yeah, those are two bad combinations. More volume and smaller crowds. Yeesh. So, I guess to get off AEW and to transition to something that I did want to talk about, and you mentioned, Edge had his 25th year anniversary match in Toronto this past week on SmackDown. I loved the Toronto Maple Leafs inspired gear and shirts that he had. They were quite fantastic, and the design was excellent. And you know, a lot of people have made it sound like a retirement, but if I'm not mistaken, I didn't hear any actual retirement talk before or after.
We did an earlier interview earlier in the week talking about how this is the last match on his contract, and it's also his contract entirely in September. So that conceivably could be.
Okay. I was unaware as to that level of factoid, so...
He says, you know, he's not sure, but if I'm him at this point, I don't think so. Because remember, Edge had all of those farewells, the Hall of Fame, everything, over a decade ago. It's going to be hard to keep people, you know, getting emotionally invested and getting
up to that level for another. I guess I knew he was already... I feel like he'd already been pretty open about being near retirement again.
Yeah.
And, you know, it makes sense. The guy really... I guess I'm kind of interested now. Has it been 4 years that he's been back?
It's going to be 4 years again.
Okay.
I believe they maybe signed a 3-year contract in January 2020 or whatever, but you know, there was some injury time that, you know, got added to the deal.
2020.
Okay,
so, yeah.
However many matches, you know, because it was a deal with a specific number of matches per year. So, and he has fulfilled that. He's, you know, he's technically still under contract until September, but what happens after that is, who knows. But I don't know if he's going to get any better at farewell days than they did last week.
No. I mean, that match was probably the best of the week. It is the best of the week.
Yeah, I would say so. It's really a match. You know, they let him win it, which was a good moment in the right ball. You know, Sheamus is pretty top line, so you take a loss there.
Yes.
It's not like Edge looks like he's, you know, that's decrepit of an old man. That it wasn't believable. So, you want to leave people at a moment like that. And I mean, it's up to Edge. It's up to WWE.
You know, that has still been one of the more interesting aspects of this return for Edge, that it felt like he was coming back to wrestle the young guys and then really didn't wrestle the young guys.
Yeah.
You know, even his going out match, I'm glad that it, or possible going out match, was with Sheamus, and I guess I was surprised that they had never fought each other.
Yeah, no, and they're, you know, Sheamus' career absolutely crosses over. Sheamus has been around so long that he does cross over with that in the last couple of years or so. That's, I just first wrong.
Yeah, so I was pretty surprised when they mentioned that. I'm like, huh? Like, really? They didn't, at some point? Really?
Yeah.
And they had,
they seem to both genuinely like each other, and friends, and they seem to like each other,
and he had, what, the half a dozen years in, let me see here if I see the number, to how many years he was in TNA there. Oh, yeah, 3 and then 2012. 05 to 08. So yeah, it was not a terribly long stint away there. But yeah, I mean, I guess it was still something outside of the WWE.
Did this have equity in the cage part of the name?
Yeah.
I mean, Edge's name before he was Edge was Sexton Hart, yes.
Yes, that is still one that I always get a good kick out of. No, I believe Rogers Center is just the arena there in Toronto. I don't know what where the Blue Jays play, what the name of it is.
I think it is Rogers Center, isn't it?
They could both be Rogers Center, quite conceivably.
Okay, but, I don't think they officially call it the Skydome.
Let's see here. Oh, yeah, Rogers Center. Let's see here. I believe that could be the case. Yep, originally a Sky Dome.
Okay.
You are correct, sir.
Oh, yeah, there just wasn't a big show there to do it in. That would, of course, have been the most ideal. But, you know, the way that they set up that SmackDown, built the whole thing around him, had everyone say all the nice things about him, he's already in the Hall of Fame.
That's the one, just, I don't know how you do that, you know what I mean? Like, you literally had a Hall of Fame career already, and you came back because the doctors said that you could, and you didn't really go out the way you wanted to.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like, for the most part, he's righted the wrongs. I didn't really expect. I was trying, because I guess I was trying to think if he's had any championship runs.
Yeah. No, he's not held any championships. This is the bat. No.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, he's had some good matches. He's had some weird feuds, especially the one with Randy Orton to start things off. But
yeah, and the stuff with the Miz along the way. And, I mean, probably the best stuff he did probably against Seth Rollins, really.
Yes, I'd agree with that.
The Judgment Day stuff got just dragged on too long,
and no one wanted to boo him. And
yeah,
he never really.
Oh yeah, when he was with the Judgment Day, yes. No one wanted to boo Edge gets one of the louder reactions everywhere he goes. And before Cody was back around, and Seth got super over, and Nice super over, and Sammy and Kevin super over. Edge, want to look at that era, that year or so after. Crowds came back. Night after night, Edge probably was around. Edge probably was getting the biggest pop of the night in a lot of places.
Yeah. Yeah, so, and what? Didn't. It always seemed like they were destined for a mixed tag match, because Beth Phoenix never really got any type of revenge on Rhea Ripley for being concertoed, did she?
No, they did a mixed tag.
Oh, okay.
And then that had an elimination chamber.
I felt like there is still kind of some type of hanging, some type
of
unresolved.
Point, yeah. Even then.
Yeah. Oh, it's almost too long ago at this point.
Rhea was on her way to winning the title. Beth was never going to actually.
No. Yeah, I mean, I guess you could run that match with Rhea if you wanted to for the championship around these parts.
I mean, it's something to do to fill time.
Yeah.
You can absolutely do Rhea. You can do Rhea Beth, whatever. But again, that's not getting that revenge.
That is very true. Revenge is not in the cards for her. Title or no title, honestly. Current star always gonna win.
Right.
So, I guess, is there anything else from the world of WWE that you feel like we need to cover before heading on out of here?
I think we're good right now.
Okie dokie. Well, Belltime Beer was another trip. Yeah, another trip beer, vacation beer. Alliance Brewing Company, CMS, Hazy IPA with Citra, Mosaic, and Simcoe hops. It is a pretty tasty, nice little light Hazy IPA coming in at, I believe it's 6.8. Yep, 6.8% ABV, so it's not too heavy, not too light. Just right in that nice beer pocket there, where you'll definitely feel a little bit, but not get on a full hangover mode yet. So, if you happen to be down in Knoxville, Tennessee, I would suggest taking a visit over to Alliance Brewing. They seem to have some pretty tasty beers. So, that is the Belltime Beer for @DeFrango11. He is at Stunt Cali. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any number of locations, whether it's Google, Spotify, or Amazon, I think we're on still, too. So, yeah, hey, download us in any of those places. I guess Stitcher isn't going to be a thing anymore, so no more saying that one in the exit. So I am confused and not sure which one's the name now. Have a good night, grandkids.